1 hour, no agenda, and working on the second glass of whatever. That's when the evening gets interesting, when the stories and thoughts spill out. Like a work week too full that tips over, and the pent-up laughter pours out. These are the unguarded thoughts and opinions, the anecdotes and antics, the conversations that just fucking happen on a Thursday night when you're two beers in. Now, here are the hosts of Two Beers In, Brett Weaver and Monica Ballard.
All right, now you start talking.
I start talking. Hey, we got Mick Jagger here today.
We're not doing radio.
Oh, sorry.
I mean, though we're kind of doing radio.
Well, it's the future of radio.
Yes. Well, it's the present of radio, actually. I would say it's the present of radio.
Okay. Hey, what position on the dial will this be on?
Yeah, you know, it's really not that hard to figure out. So this is Two Beers In. I am one of your hosts, Brett Weaver.
And I am another of your hosts, Monica Ballard.
Yes. And so the conceit of this podcast is to sit in a bar with lots of bass. It's pretty awesome.
It's all about the bass.
Yes. No treble. And here we are at the Aristocrat on Burnett Road in Austin, Texas. Monica once said to me, "Hey, Brett,
all the best conversations start when you're two beers in."
Mm-hmm. And so I said, "You know, that sounds like a great podcast that we could do." And other people that we've said that to went, "Yeah, that sounds like a great podcast."
It was either all the best things start, best conversations start, or it might have been all the funniest things happen, or it might have been I start taking my clothes off. I don't exactly. I must have been three beers in or so when I said this.
And I think I was five at that time. And I was like, "This is a great idea. I love you.
That's sort of a podcast."
Monica and I have known each other for years now.
Nine?
Oh, it's got to be more than that.
9 or 10?
It's got to be more than that.
Lainey turned 10.
Yes.
And she was... Lisa was pregnant with Lainey when we were doing the Christmas show together.
That's right.
Because we wanted to have an alcoholic toast, and she declined.
She declined.
And just the other week, Lainey turned 10 years old.
Yes,
daughter. And I felt old.
And I've been definitely feeling a lot older as well. So
10 years, my friend.
10 years.
Woo!
Tink. Yay.
Tink.
Oh, Brett Weaver, I am currently drinking ginger beer in a Moscow Mule. And previously, I had a delicious kefir lime drink.
Oh, now you're just showing off.
Yeah, because I know what kefir is. And what did you have?
I started with a Fireman's Four.
Yes.
And now, in honor of Ghostbusters, I'm having a Gozer.
A Gozer. And Ghostbusters is playing on the TV right now.
Is it?
Yeah. Ghostbusters 2.
Two.
Two. Oh. Still good. It's still good.
Well, there's a definite point of disappointment, though. It's like, "Oh, Ghostbusters, oh,
two.
Oh, two."
Oh. Well, that's great. And our friend Andrew is here, too, but he's off mic, and he just waved at the microphone, which is weird because it's an audio medium. And
Someday.
Yeah.
Someday.
We'll be on camera.
We'll be on camera.
Why would we want to be on camera? So we're going to bank 10 of these. We're going to put them up on the air. And I think it's going to be good.
On the air. You said on the air.
And it's the president of radio. It's the president of radio.
So earlier today on the Facebook.
On the Facebook.
You were whining about sitcoms that cue the audience when to laugh.
Yes.
Through music.
Yes.
I mean, this is sort of the evolution of the laugh track.
Yes.
It's kind of like, okay, well, we don't want to have a laugh track, but we do want to tell them when to laugh.
When to laugh.
We'll do it through music.
Yes. I think that Larry Gelbart, the writer for MASH and other great shows, who was the first one to say, I don't want a laugh track, would be also in agreement with me that it's just really annoying when just the music gives you that indication. And I was taken to task because I said shows like 30 Rock and Kimmy Schmidt, which has the same
producer
and music writer, which is Tina Fey's husband. But also in shows like I was watching Rizzoli and Isles.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because I want to watch Rizzoli and Isles. Okay, just don't judge me. Don't judge me on this. Because I'm trying to find something that's a little bit happy. But, you know, and why not a detective murder show that has some funny in it? But in it, they have, first of all, they let you know you're in Boston with the Irish-sounding background music.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
And, oh, bless their hearts.
And when something happens, it's like, deedly deedly dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee. And you're just going, dude, I'm tired. You don't. But they've even gotten it down to where they're scripting music moment to moment.
Oh.
Where, like, you can hear the guy. You can hear the guy watching the screen going, da 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 da, da da da. Oh, there's a little upset. Bum, 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 bum. Oh, it's a little bit happier. Da 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 da. Oh, and death. Da 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 da. It's like,
but
wow.
But now the kid comes in. Da 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 da.
Yeah. And I don't like that. Is what I'm saying. Don't tell me how to feel. Like, I would rather watch something that that you can do a punch. You can do a musical punch, but yeah, not like this whole background thing. It just, I hate it.
It used to be really prevalent in the 60s as well, with a lot of the, of course, the Sherwood Schwartz
sure.
Comedies, where, I mean, it came right down to the da 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 da. Wah, wah,
oh.
Wah. Yeah, it's just awful.
Like, I don't.
Don't, no. Please don't. No, not the wah, wah,
don't,
wah, please.
Don't do that.
Stop.
Yeah.
Stop. Just stop.
We may go to, if we get an agreement, but we'd like to thank Austin, who is the general manager here at.
Oh, okay.
I was thinking about. I'd like to thank Austin. And while I'm at it, I'd like to thank Texas and the United States, the world.
God bless Texas.
The universe. Thank you for making this happen.
So no. Austin is the bartender.
Austin is not only the bartender, but he's the general manager.
Oh.
And he's looking at me like, why are you pointing at me, you asshole? Stop doing that. he's giving me the cutoff sign. That's great. He's like, I can't hear you.
Time.
Get out.
No, I'm sorry. It's time. Thank you. Please wrap.
Get your rep. He's a producer now. Shit. I didn't know we had
Everybody's
producers.
A producer.
Yeah. Andrew is definitely a producer. Andrew's stuck. He needs to get out. Oh, yeah.
I got to let him out.
Yeah.
No. That's never go over the edge.
See, I'm going to go over the edge. We are sitting in a wonderful Naga hide booth.
Yes.
Made
like
killed,
Fernando.
Killed. All the best Nagas were killed for this
That's
booth.
That's right. Oh, the proud Nagas. They used to roam so free.
Yes, especially in the 70s.
Just every now and then to be wiped down by a damp sponge.
Wiped out by a damp sponge. Yeah, that's nice. That's nice.
And the festive painted paper lanterns over us.
Yes.
And Marilyn Monroe over here laughing at everything we say.
She's dead now.
She still thinks we're witty.
Yes, you're witty, but she's looking at me. She's looking at me. She's like, you know, I may be.
But she's leaning in my direction.
If I was still alive, I would be 80 years old. And I would think you're funny.
Happy birthday,
Mr. President.
We're just awful.
We are just awful. You know, I was thinking, one of our connections is the Wizard Academy down in Dripping Spring.
Yes.
Driftwood.
Yeah, you know.
That area.
Yeah.
Which many people are now looking, where the hell is that on a Google map? Bring that up. But one of the things that they had there that I noticed in one of the spots was over the beer fridge in the main tower. There was a game that it's a card game where you pull and it's like a substantive conversations, no small talk.
Oh.
And I almost stole that thing just so hey. I can go, hey, if things get slow, let's pull one of these things. What do we feel about this?
That's because the wizard, Roy H. Williams,
yes,
best-selling author, New York Times bestseller list.
Great dancer.
Great dancer, but not a big fan of small talk.
No, not at all.
It just annoys him, and you can tell that he is internally looking at his watch, and not even a wristwatch. No, it's like a pocket watch or something, some sort of interesting
on a fob that's
mental
sitting.
Watch.
Yes.
In his mind,
mm-hmm.
where he's going, when is this going to be over, and what signal can I give to anyone around me to rescue me from small talk?
Yet he seems to appreciate me, as the Australians say, taking the piss out of him.
You are an instigator.
Many times I will.
You'll stir things up.
Yeah, I'm a shit stir. I will admit it. Because I must admit that any time there is someone who others see as important, I immediately want to go, huh? Can I get them to react to something? Can I do something to get them to react?
Here's the thing. It's not that Roy considers himself so important. It's that
others do.
Others just
absolutely.
Put him in high esteem and put him on some sort of pedestal, and they're just, whoa. Yeah,
and I can actually see him getting aggravated with that.
Oh, absolutely.
Like he's like, that's not what this is about.
Exactly. Yeah. Especially when they just go, tell me what to do. Tell me how to plan my
What's
life.
Your name, Deb? Courtney. Courtney from Three Little Pigs, ooh. The delicious, Brussels sprouts. It's very Brussels sprouty. Yes.
That's going to be a hell of a blood test tomorrow.
Yeah, they're going to be like, well, Mr. Weaver.
Yeah. Are you part Vulcan? Your blood seems to be green.
So let me explain that. So, first of all, I have to eat now because it's almost 7 o'clock, and I have to have a fast for 12 hours because I have a blood draw at 7 a.m. Because I went to the doctors. I haven't been feeling well. You see, this is not interesting stuff, but I'll still I haven't been feeling well. So I went to the doctors. They did a blood draw on me. And when it comes to lipids, which is the amount of fat that's in your blood, basically. That's the short version of it. You should have between 30, it's like the number is 35 to 100. Now, granted, I ate lunch yesterday before I went to the doctor, but when they did a blood draw on me, the lipid count was 430. So.
I think that makes you part lipid.
The joke that I made when the person told me this, she was very grave when she told me this. She's like, it's 35 to 100. You're 430. I'm like, see, I keep saying I bleed gravy, and nobody believes me. And she actually laughed. And she goes, you don't know how apt that is, how truthful. So like, they think that it can't be right, so they're going to have me fast. Go back to another blood draw, and my guess will be 230. That's my guess.
Okay.
Is that it's still too high.
Yes.
Which means, what's annoying about this for me is it's not like I eat junk food all the time.
No.
I don't eat a lot of potatoes. I don't eat a lot of fast food. I eat good, lots of vegetables. I'm digging the pork. I won't lie to you. And many times I'm forced to have things at lunchtime in a sandwich form. So I have to eat, right? I mean, there's always a bread component somewhere in there. And I eat that. And I don't feel well. It's not like emotionally I feel badly about it. It's just, yeah. And so I know.
And it's not even sick. It's probably just a little sluggish or something
right.
like that.
Well, it feels like a medium-sized dog is sitting on my chest. But...
That's not a dog. It's a gigantic lipid.
Yes, a lipid that has been...
What breed of dog is that? It's a lipid.
Lipid. Oh, I've heard of those. That's a mixture of a Labrador and a poodle. It's a lipid. I just made that up.
Only with gravy.
I know it's called the Labradoodle. Okay, you don't have to tell me, Andrew.
I'm gonna tell you.
Okay.
I'm not on microphone.
Yeah.
Should I be on microphone?
You should not be on microphone yet. I want to wait. We're going to wait for Andrew to be on microphone until he's more comfortable because he's a fairly insular person. And others will be joining us, probably not today, but next time. And so my thought is, Monica, that that we don't do this every week, but we do it every other week. Yeah. Because the thought was, is if we do this every week, then the rest of the crew, the Austin Thursday crew, will be like, oh, he's going to do the, they're going to record on microphones, and we want to talk the shit. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Why don't you watch? In fact, why don't you sit in that booth over there? Last week it was funny because I walked around and tried to find the perfect spot, and I think this is a pretty good one, except when the bass kicks in.
Right next to Marilyn.
Mm-hmm.
And Marilyn, and Marilyn,
and Marilyn, and Marilyn. And Marilyn, and
who's
Marilyn.
Got the wall of Marilyn Monroe?
Yeah. Oh, wait. I think there's a theme. I bet you it just keeps going.
I think, yeah, 16 pictures of Marilyn does constitute a theme.
I'm thinking that if we walk to the other side of the bar, those will also be Marilyn pictures.
Think?
Yeah.
So is that leftover from when I was...
No. No, this was a meth bar before. I mean, it was...
What?
Oh, yeah. Oh, the poodle dog was not...
Yes, I remember the poodle dog.
Yes.
Not to be confused with the lipid.
The lipid dog. Why don't you talk for a bit?
Yeah, Steve, we're kind of torn here because both of us want to eat, and yet, but you have to eat. You have to eat now.
Now.
Yes, because you only have 32 minutes to consume everything, including that delicious pie that they were offering out there at the trailer.
The
as
buttermilk?
Well. Yeah.
Mm, yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
I feel like we're doing...
We're doing like a cooking show or a foodie show of some kind or something.
I wish I remember the name of this video that I watched, and it was straight up food porn. I mean, like, this was a cooking thing done with porn values, which a lot of the times, by the way...
Did it have music that went...
No. Heightened sounds... You could tell that they put the mic down to where you can hear.
You hear the crunch and the and the stirring and the.
And for most of it, you don't see the guy's face that's cooking the stuff. You just see his hand reach in, and it's this big, beautiful knife. And the setting, I swear, when I watched this thing, it was like the setting was in Mongolia in the snow.
Ooh.
And there was a fire there.
Yeah, I saw you. I saw the you know. The posting.
Yeah, me saying feel dirty about this, please. But yeah, it's basically they take a free range chicken and cut the back out.
Yeah,
they call it spatchcocking, and they rub. I mean, like they crush the spices all together. Mm. Oh yeah,
and then they rub the spices.
I mean, they really do. It's so dirty. Like you're watching that, going, I need some alone time.
With a jar of mayonnaise.
With I don't know. Oh wow, wow, Monica, that went really specific. All of a sudden, that was strange. but then they fried this chicken in a wok on an open fire. And then they take it and it's like beautifully crispy and delicious and really, really the money shot is the guy taking a bite of the chicken and you're going, well done, sir. And, I mean, enough to where I go, I want to be in Colorado, go up to where the snow is and do that, recreate that scene.
Wow.
because that looked delicious and fantastic.
Where are you going with that walk, sir?
I'm going to the mountains.
Mr. Ranger.
I'm going to the mountains.
Sorry, Mr. Ranger. I'm just headed up the snow peak here. It's perfectly all right.
I got something
to do.
Have
you seen any chickens running around?
Could you help me find a chicken, sir?
I'll take a Denver pigeon in a pinch.
We'll do whatever we can. I'm making this chicken.
Wow, that is so unlike a video that I accidentally watched today. Why, that sounded much more sordid. You people are going to be so disappointed.
This is not.
Because I was instructed to find a particular video for someone in Oregon, and it was a roofing company. So I'm navigating around YouTube, and I just do, you know, Oregon roof cleaning, and I end up on this video where there is no one on screen. It's just a broom knocking moss off of a roof for 4 minutes. And after the first minute and a half, it just got to be funny. And I thought, okay, how long can they continue doing this without any sort of narration or anything like that? And I thought, oh, there are comments. So I scrolled down to the comments. And the comments are scintillating things like, hey, what kind of broom is that? That would have been the last thing on my mind watching this video. Hey, what kind of broom is that?
Hey, man, that's a nice broom. What kind of what kind of broom is that? Oh, that's funny.
It was
funny.
Just sweep, 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 knock a little moss off, sweep, 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 and just this centered shot and this broom handle. It's like...
So is it something interesting, or is it just B-roll?
It was...
Like, you have to ask, is that B-roll?
It was posted by a roofing company that was just really proud of, hey, here's how you knock moss off your roof.
See, so, now I want to go and find many videos like this and cut it all together to something very odd, some kind of music, like maybe Radiohead. Playing because it has to be
playing
like
Creep,
yes,
or something like that.
We're playing in the background. Yeah, very strange. It is strange what people will put on YouTube. Like, was it YouTube? Was it YouTube?
Yeah, it was YouTube. I eventually found the company's website and went to their videos and found what it was I was supposed to be watching. But for the first 4 minutes or so, I was like, wow, somebody did this, uploaded it, and probably notified his friends.
Hold on.
What?
Oh, okay, that's not you, that's me. There we go. I suddenly lost volume, and I was like, what's going on here? It's like, oh, it's me, it's not you.
It's you, okay. Well, good.
Good. Great.
By the way, a great song is playing on the jukebox right now. Steely Dan.
You know how they got that name?
Yes, I do. Because I've run many, many an AM radio trivia contest and made the program director feel really uncomfortable by not actually responding to the answer and just saying, well, you don't have the answer exactly correct.
But it's close
but
enough.
I can't tell you what the answer is.
So I'm going to
say, or we might lose our license. Like, same with 10cc.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is the average amount that a man ejaculates.
I didn't realize that it was that. I thought it was something else.
No, that's what it is.
All right.
Yep.
I understand that...
See, my work here is done.
I understand that a person can... like, the average pee of a person is like 35 seconds.
Really?
Yeah.
Man. I'm taking way too many breaks and doing shorter
visits.
In that case.
We need to average it out. You know, let's start a log. We'll start a log.
There we go. I'll leave it in the fifth floor bathroom.
Yes. People, they won't, you won't even have, you just put it up there. Don't explain anything. And they're like, what's going on? Experiment. It's an experiment.
And then you start remarking on color, you know, and things like that.
Had asparagus.
Such a kind of a spring color today. It's vermilion.
Vermilion.
That's trouble.
That's my favorite.
That's lots of lipids right there.
See, and that's what I'm worried about. I'm worried that they're going to put me on the Lipitor. And then a statin, because I don't want to necessarily be the specific name of the product. And, it's going to make me, pee fat. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to be peeing fat, because it's got to go out somewhere, right? Or am I going to sweat grease? What's going to happen? It's going to smell.
Walk past and people go, hey, wait.
Ooh, where'd you go? Hey. Did you go to Franklin's today? No, I think that if it's going to smell like anything, it's going to smell like smothered chicken is what I'm going to smell like. Be like, did you have garlic? Yes, I did. Yes, I did.
So you had a kind of a homebody 4th of July weekend.
Yes, I did. Well, yeah. So Friday, I was in Houston, and I worked at the dumb job, and then I recorded the cartoon that I was doing, and then for only 3.5 hours, I was like, I want to split it up into 2 days. I'm going to do Friday and Saturday instead of screaming for 7 hours. I'm going to scream for 3.5 hours, take a break, and then the next day have a nice Saturday, and then scream for 3.5 hours. I go in to scream for 3.5 hours, and I yell for 1 hour, and then we realize that we didn't have enough line. Oh, they miscalculated the lines, and it ended up it was going to be another 7 hours of screaming.
Oh, my God.
So I went to 10 o'clock at night, and then I said, you know, I'm going to stay at a hotel. I'm not driving back to Austin, and got it done, and... And my director was very apologetic, and I brought him. He's feeling quite badly because anytime I come to Houston from Austin, he's asked for me to stop at either Hruska's or Weichel's, which is in LaGrange or Ellinger, and pick up a specific beef jerky for him. And so I brought the beef jerky for him, thinking all good about it.
What did he do?
He gave me extra hours. And then we had to negotiate how many hours I was going to actually get paid for. And that's actually, I learned from my therapist that you'll appreciate this, that I can be a little quixotic sometimes. I tend to tilt at the windmills.
Yes.
That I really shouldn't.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. You're not surprised by me saying this.
I am not. No.
So in this case, here's Brett's cultural criticism of the week. In voice acting, which is one of the things that I do, and Monica does as well, when I'm doing a video game or a... in this case, it's video games or cartoons, anime. Right now, the way the culture is as a voice actor, you come in, you audition, they don't really know who you are. You're lucky if you get the job. You have to feel lucky because you get the job. And then you scream as fast as you possibly can to get the lines out. You don't get a chance with the script to understand what it is. You're just parroting whatever they're doing. You get it out and get out of there. My complaint with that is twofold. For two reasons. One is I don't think that voice actors are given the chance to actually be the professionals that they are and the artists that they can be by looking at the script and understanding what's happening before they do it. Like, for in this instance, I recorded, and I don't remember anything that I said because it was going so quickly. And the second thing is that the amount of experience that you have and actual success that you can show of quality is not recognized. So a guy that just walked off the street and can kind of talk into a microphone has just as much of a chance of getting a gig as I do with 21 years experience acting. So it's a complaint that I have. And my therapist said, do you really think by going to these heads of production and leaders of these companies, they're going to really listen to you? Which irritates me because I wish that I was big enough to where they would listen to me.
They're going to get up from their desks. They're going to put their arm around you and say, Brett. It is Brett, isn't it?
Right.
Bradley, we totally understand. And as the, and they're telling you this as they walk
they're
you
walking
to
you
the
out
door.
The door. Yeah.
You know what? Why don't you give it another run? And I'm sure that you're just going to knock it right out of the park.
Yeah.
And I'm anxious to hear it. I'm anxious to hear it, Brad.
Brad. Brenda. Brenda, I'm so happy that you came here, Steve. Like, not even close. Not even close to my name. It's just annoying to me because I've been in part of the industry for so long, and it's a fairly small industry, and I would hope that we could take this to the next level, and that's what I want.
And from the outside world, people do think that voice acting is very easy.
Yes.
Oh my God, I can remember sitting in conventions and you know, places where we were trying to sell audiobooks and audiobook services to authors.
Mm-hmm.
And people would come and sit down and they would say, oh, you know what? People tell me all the time that I should be reading audiobooks. Because I read to my children all the time and they're highly entertained. I do all sorts of voices when I'm reading them a story.
Sure.
And I just think I'd be perfect for this. And they have no idea of the stamina that it takes.
Mm-hmm.
And particularly when you're carving it up from one day to the next, long-form audio performance is hell.
Yes.
Because when you come back in the next day, you have to match the energy that you left
and
with.
And you have to remember that if you were doing these other voices, characters, you have to remember what those voices were.
Yes, and do them exactly the same way. And you don't want some, you know, you don't want to bug some engineer saying, hey, could I hear how I did Captain Heller, please? Thank you.
See, they agree.
I know.
They agree.
You know, applause off to the side there.
Sure.
They're totally on our side.
Yes. And by the way, I don't want to make this whole podcast about each week we bitch about voice acting.
But
that's the topic for today. No, I was very happy to do this series. I look forward to doing more of that. But I tell you, at 50, I don't know how many more I've got in me, you know? Like, I'm definitely one of the reasons for this podcast is because I go, I've got content, I've got things that might be interesting.
That's right, like lipids.
Lipids in my veins. I'm bleeding gravy. It's awesome. Yeah. Having some fat.
That's right, and knocking moss off a roof. This is scintillating stuff.
You know, I had so much fun doing that music video for you, for the roofing.
Oh,
speaking
the roof, oh, my Des Moines roofer.
Yeah,
yeah.
What was the song on Top of the World?
It was Imagine Dragons on Top of the World.
Man, that song stuck in my head.
Yeah, yeah. And
but not in a bad way.
And you didn't mind either.
No.
Yeah.
No.
It's really, really. I had that in my head when I went up there to meet with them, and had every intention that we were going to make a silly music video to that song.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we accomplished that.
How do they feel about it?
Oh, they love it.
Okay.
They love that thing. Yeah, yeah. It beat their idea, which was they wanted to use James Brown Get Up Off of That Thing.
Oh, no. No.
And I said...
Because when I think James Brown, I think Utah. So... It's Utah, right?
No, it's Des Moines, Iowa.
Iowa.
Even worse.
Even more.
Yeah, even...
Yeah, because when I think of the struggle that James Brown went through, the first thing I think about is Iowa.
I said, okay, well, we can use the phrase, get up off of that thing, but do you have any idea what the rest of the song says? And they did not. Get up off of that thing. Like a sex machine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it just went. They just remembered that they had selective memory on that part of the mm-hmm. chorus. And that was all. You know? Kind of like the people across my fence who on the 3rd of July had their iPod or their satellite station or whatever.
Were they enjoying some music?
They were enjoying a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
They were enjoying the green, green grass of...
Home?
Of Mexico or Thailand. I don't know where it was from.
It was grass.
To be honest.
It was definitely grass.
It was definitely grass. And one of them had a tambourine. God help us. And they... And they were doing some interesting moves. Like one woman.
Oh, so you could watch them.
Well, it was like just beyond the fence line, and well, because what they were doing physically was sort of scaring me a little bit. First of all, the music. Okay.
Right.
First of all,
let's talk about the music.
What really captured everyone's attention, I think, for a three-block radius, was the guy singing along very badly, I might add, to the Oak Ridge Boys' Elvira.
How many times did he sing that?
Too many. It was every chorus. He joined in.
Oh, that's
but
the
then
best.
But then things were kind of quiet for a while. And then all of a sudden, all three of them broke into "Let Freedom Ring."
Oh no! No! No!
And it was like you people have no idea that that song is about divorce, do you? No. All right, should I come over there and educate you? So physically,
it would be the best version of Monica mansplaining that I've ever heard. Actually,
I used to work in country radio, and let me explain something to you.
Yeah, sit down. It's okay. No, keep drinking.
Yeah,
it's fine.
It's fine. And don't Bogart that. No, hell
pass
no.
It. Puff, puff, pass. Puff, puff, pass. There we go.
Ditchy on the left hand side. So. What they were doing physically was that one woman was behind the man and had her arm around his shoulders up to his neck and was
okay.
Kind of holding him back. And
in
the
an
other,
embrace?
No. It's sort of like fighting mode.
A wrestling
like
mode?
How to disarm someone
wow.
who had a machete
okay.
or something. I don't know. And the other woman was like, No, little more to the left. Okay, now, throw him over your shoulder. And it's like, wow, these people are...
They're wrestling.
Wow,
That's
yeah,
they
were...
Doing some jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
Some judo.
But the Elvira song is what...
Yeah.
I was...
No.
You know, it was really kind of cool enough on July 3rd this year... That I had the back door open, I had turned the air off for a while. There was a heck of a breeze.
Sure.
Beautiful breeze. And then when they started launching into Elvira, that
That door closed.
That was when my cat, who was perched beside me on the sofa.
That's such a great picture, by the way.
Looked up at me, gives me a look. Not them, gives me a look. Like, make that stop.
Could you?
Right now.
Yeah. That was an aggravated cat right there. Just like, could like, you stop?
Just one ear back just a little bit.
It's your species. Go take care of that.
If it had eyebrows, it could have lifted an eyebrow. That's Turbo. So, it was a great weekend for me, too. A lot of good food and a lot of solitary projects kind of thing. I finally washed the costumes from the show.
Nice.
Yeah. And packed them all up. And
we did an outdoor in the woods version of Midsummer Night's Dream, but a shortened version.
Yeah.
It's quite fun. I still think it's one of the funniest bits of that is the way it's titled, the way we did it, it was Robin Goodfellow was the name of it. And then there's a part where Oberon is talking about, he's about to put a spell over Titania and say she will have a Midsummer Night's Dream. And Monica, who is the director up running the booth, and the fairies all went, oh, okay.
Made a big point of it.
Like title
Titania
of the show.
Titania shall have a Midsummer Night's Dream. And we put it in this year's show where there's this little pause. And all these unseen voices go, oh.
That got a good laugh. That got a really, including me standing in the back. I was very proud of that show this year because, once again, like I'm running towards the finish line. And the one show, which is scary for me as an actor because it usually takes me a couple of shows to go, okay, I got this. But this time, I did great. I got like 97% of the lines. I hit everything. You know, there was no awkward pauses anywhere, which made me feel really good. And, I mean, usually with theater, I'm enough of an improviser to where even if I'm dropping something, I know what's supposed to be said at that time. And if I can't remember everything, I can make it up and it works fine. Shakespeare, you can't really do that. I mean, you can, but it's really hard.
It's really hard to improvise an iambic pentameter.
Exactly. And so, but this time I got all my lines and got to do an R-rated ending for my... Because I play Bottom, the guy who turns into a donkey. And in the end, when he's discovering that he no longer has a donkey head, he checks his ears. Oh, okay, those are gone. Checks his muzzle. Oh, good, it's just my face now. Wait a minute, do I still have a tail? No, there's no tail. Hey, what about... Oh, yeah. Still all right. Still doing all right.
My coworker Paul asked me how the show went, and I said, it went very well. The actors did very well, but that chick running sound and lights, we got to replace her next year. There were just so many moments when I was so focused on running all the sound cues correctly that I was kind of like, damn it, it's night. I forgot to change the lights. You know? Mm-hmm. It's like, I just had too much to do. But I'm glad more video got shot this year.
Yes. Yes,
and people are posting things, and it'll be a good promo for next year.
I think that we've talked about this before. Is I think that you should as soon as they start deciding what they're going to do for the year, you throw in for that and get a yes or no to get it early. And if they say no, then we find another way and do it someplace else.
Yeah,
I mean I love the guys at Wizard Academy, but I want to make sure that we do it more than just one show a year.
Yes. Yeah. Well, next year, hopefully, we'll include a children's class in it and feature the kids from the class in the show, which was the whole point of restaging it this year.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't want it to necessarily be... We also need to work on Journey to from
Journey of the Wise Men?
Nope, the other one.
Journey from Emmaus?
There we go. I was going to call it Animaeus, and I knew that wasn't
Journey from Amadeus.
Yeah. From Amadeus.
Too many notes.
Too many notes.
Could you do it with less notes?
Journey from Emmaus, I would love to turn into an audio piece rather than staging something. And my friend Patricia asked me why that was. And I said, A, rehearsal. B, I'm scared to death that if we establish something on the Wizard Academy campus, they're going to build something ridiculous right in the pathway of what we have planned.
And they're like, what?
It's like, oh, I'm sorry, now I have to write around this hot air balloon gondola that's sitting in the middle of this patch of woods here.
There's a hot air balloon gondola that's in the woods from
the TV series Lost. Yeah. And I remember the first season it was there that you and I were walking around checking out the route for Journey of the Wise Men. And there were some new statues and things like that and some new gates put up. And we said, well, you know, we can write around that. We can say this. We can say that. But then we got to that goddamn gondola.
And we're like,
and you
nope,
said,
I got nothing.
You said, what's that going to be? And I said, it's going to be dark.
That's right. I forgot that.
That's what that's going to be.
It's going to be dark.
That's going to be dark.
Not going to worry about it.
Back there, we don't have to worry about that.
Nope. The Wizard, no, not Wizards Academy, the Wizard Academy. Explain the Wizard Academy.
Oh, my. It is a 21st...
It's a cult.
It's totally a cult. It's a 21st century business school that basically teaches left-brain people how to be right-brain and teaches right-brain people processes so that they can become more organized and left-brain. So it takes the science, it sees the science in art, and it sees the art in science, and teaches things like public relations, marketing and advertising. The Young Writers Workshop is happening next week. Marketing for luxury items, and a whiskey school.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a wine cellar in the basement, in the art gallery, because every business school needs a wine cellar.
Mm-hmm.
And and a school for becoming a whiskey sommelier.
As well as scotch. There's scotch up there, too.
Yes. And they're going to start making their own scotch as well.
Well, of course he is.
Yeah, Rex and Daniel.
You know, I have an opinion about that kind of thing. Much like beer and spaghetti sauce specifically. You know, I think there's enough. I think there's been enough spaghetti sauces. There's enough whiskeys. There's enough beers to where I'm going to find something that I'm okay with, like to where I don't have to make it.
That is so close-minded of you. I'm astonished by this.
Because
there's enough spaghetti sauce in the world?
Yes.
What?
Oh. Yes.
Oh, that's such a limiting belief. I
make a damn good spaghetti sauce.
And you never tinker with it?
No, I don't. Not anymore. Surprisingly, no, I don't. There's certain dishes that I pretty much make the same way each time. Like, for instance, for 4th of July, everybody else was grilling, burning meat, making barbecue. I made my really serious comfort food, which is smothered chicken and rice. Now, people say, what do you smother your chicken in? It's like, no, the
lipids.
Chicken...
Lipids.
Lipids. But it's an idea that, you know, I just get... Your regular French, and get me a drink too, by the way. Monica, get me a drink too. Whatever it is that you're drinking. Yeah. I make a a chicken dish where it's just like good spices rubbed on the chicken. Throw it in some oil, brown it up real quick, then throw in your celery, onion, carrot, garlic, and let that sweat out beautifully. Then you throw the chicken back in, put some chicken broth in the pan, cover it over, and let it cook down. Very simple. And then you cook some nice rice. You throw all of that gravy on the rice. Because growing up, being the youngest of five, I didn't get to eat. I didn't get to eat the meat. I only had rice and gravy. Thank you. I only had rice and gravy as a kid. So whenever I make some other chicken, the chicken isn't as important as the gravy. So to this day, I would rather eat rice and gravy than actually eat the chicken. Which is bad because maybe it's full of lipids. I don't know.
I got you a gozer in honor of Ghostbusters.
Yes.
It's actually a goz.
A goz?
Yes.
No, it's a gozer.
What is that, a goz?
What are you? Hey, is she a gozer? That's really good.
I know.
Very lemony.
Yeah, yeah. It's got a bit of a bite to it.
Now I'm like, I've got...
Are you done eating? Because it is exactly top of the hour.
No, I've got a little bit more to eat.
Well, you have to factor in the amount of time you'll be waiting in the waiting room.
Exactly.
There you go.
No,
it's like, wait.
The good thing about Austin Regional Clinic, which is where I've been going, is that they pretty much, like, oh, you got a 7? All right, come on, let's go.
And yeah.
They're really good about...
I miss that. They used to be my provider.
Yeah.
No.
What do you have to use now, Seton?
No, I have Dr. D'Souza. And I picked her from my providers list because I knew I would never forget her name. I would always be able to, you know, if I'm bleeding on a highway and they ask me, who's your doctor? I'll say, Dr. D'Souza.
Dr. D'Souza.
I have not gone to see Dr. D'Souza yet.
This year.
Had the plan since January. Have not seen her yet. I need to go.
Mm-hmm.
I do, because God knows what may happen in the
lipids.
Next couple
you
of
may
months.
Have lipids.
I may have lipids. Yep. So
obviously, if you're hanging out with me and cooking, eating my food.
Yeah, all that good gumbo and shit.
So here's my complaint with Western medicine.
With what?
Western
medicine.
Western medicine.
Okay. That is not what I heard initially, but...
Okay.
All right.
The doctor never asks you, what have you been eating? You would think that would be the first thing. Hey, my heart and blah, blah. What have you been eating? You would think that would be the first thing.
I once had someone at a weight loss clinic ask me that, like, right off the bat. She came back in from me giving her a pee sample. She put one hand on her hip, and she said, "Land sakes, girl, what have you been eating?"
Asparagus? Was that an asparagus
No,
joke?
It was microwave popcorn.
Mm.
And she said, "And how did that make you feel?"
Oh.
And I said, "Like shit."
Yeah.
And she said, "And what have we learned?" I said, "Because that microwave popcorn makes you feel like shit."
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, "Okay, forgiven."
I wasn't looking for absolution.
Well,
but,
I kind of was. But yeah, she could tell from the sodium level.
You know, that, I make my popcorn in a wok.
Do you now?
Yes, I do. It is taken off of my hero, Alton Brown. He's my hero. He's a good guy, Alton Brown. But he had the idea of cooking popcorn in a metal bowl. You said use a metal bowl because then that way, as the popcorn pops, it first of all, the heat is centered towards one spot and you can keep the kernels to the center. And as it pops up to the outside so then it doesn't get scorched.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you're just joining us, we're talking the physics of popcorn.
Of popcorn. Yes. And so I did not want to buy a metal bowl just to make popcorn. And I went, hey,
who does?
I've got this wok. Why don't I just use that? And I tried it, and it worked. And it works very well.
Hot diggity damn.
Hot diggity dog.
Next time I'm...
I do not put it in my... Because? Why? Why? Because? Why?
Because it scorches.
And it makes you feel like what?
And it makes you feel like shit.
There you go. Because you get, there's too much sodium.
And you get hell from your nutritionist.
Yep. At Weight Watchers.
It wasn't... It was not Weight Watchers. No.
Jenny Craig. Sorry.
No. Whatever those... not even in...
I'm sorry. That Wizard Academy, because it's a cult just like those other two places.
No, they're... This company is not even in existence anymore.
Oh, yeah, for
and when you first go on this plan, and I had to go on this plan because it was when I first met my future husband, Jim, and we went out to a lot of happy hours after work.
Okay.
And I drank a lot of Kahlua and creams, which will put the poundage on.
Mm-hmm.
And so the radio station had this trade deal with a weight loss company, and they allowed me to go on the program in return for testimonials. And the first week that you're on this program, which consists mainly of broth, specially provided by them in little packages.
So what years was this?
This was 81-ish or so.
All right.
So, yes, broth. And a 500-calorie-a-day limit. And I had never been as aware of the sound of the soda machine five doors down the hall than I was that week.
How hangry were you?
I wanted to do right by the client, so okay. I kind of stayed upbeat. But the second week when I was allowed an orange, that was like a gift from the gods.
Yes.
That thing was just, oh my God. Oh my God.
What if it would have been like a really shitty orange? That would have been horrible.
I think even a shitty orange at that point might have tasted at least half
as sweet
as the nectar of the gods. Yes. Oh, it was delightful. But I mean, the program did work. But I mean, any program that you're on where you're only allowed 500 calories a day,
I'd be hurting somebody. I would have been hurting. I would have been like, fuck this client, fuck all of you.
They would have been real interesting testimonials. Lots of bleeping.
Yes. This fucking broth, it's not even that good. Why are you making me drink this?
You know what this broth could use?
Everything. Everything.
Salt.
Anything.
Meat.
Yes.
Vegetables.
Vegetables. Flavor. Some garlic.
It's like when MSG. You get one of those microwave meals like from, I don't know, Weight Watchers or anyway. And you go, oh, yeah, it's only 230 calories, so it's going to need salt.
Everything. it's going to need everything.
I
you know, when my mother was having to cut down or out of the salt for a while, for a good while, she always wanted me to come over and cook for her because I could make things more flavorful. Like
without
putting salt, you would be surprised how much we all rely on that. And I was like, well, the first thing I started doing is like, well, you can have onion, yeah. You can have this, yes. So one of the first things I started doing was like, I would brown whatever it is that we're, you know, she's like, I want potatoes and onions. I was like, okay. So I'd brown the potatoes and the onions, and that gives it that extra flavor that it needs to where it's just not, oh, great, it's potato product that I'm putting in my face, right? And my sisters got very jealous of me because they're like, because you're a man. That's why she likes your food. I'm like, when was that ever a thing? I never knew.
Are you one of those people who can immediately taste the difference between butter and margarine?
Yes.
And, you know, and
I hate margarine.
Yeah. Margarine's evil.
Yeah.
It is absolutely
the way I see it is it's just chemicals. Especially once I learned that you could not put margarine in a pan to cook something because it's just hydrated oil.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, nope. And yeah, I'm the guy that when I'm in small towns and they're serving me biscuits and they put the... I'm like, can I get some real butter? All we've got is baking butter. That is fine. Bring that. Get that shit out of here. Yeah. I don't even...
Going back to Roy mm-hmm. H. Williams, there was a time when we were all sitting at dinner somewhere or something like that, and Roy just stopped everything, just laughing like crazy. And he said, I usually don't embarrass my wife, Penny. She's the princess of the world to me, but I have to tell you what she just said. When I tasted something and said, oh, that's some good mayonnaise right there. And she goes, well, I make stuff with good mayonnaise. And she was like, no, because sometimes you buy stuff that, you know.
Like
you,
Miracle
you
Whip.
You don't buy real butter and things. And she said, oh, no, it's okay if you buy the really good margarine. He's kind of like, I'm sorry, really good margarine.
No. That's it. All of your arguments are now invalid.
Yeah, really.
You've that's said right. that.
No.
I've won every
You're
argument
just
now.
You're disqualified yourself. Not if you use the really good margarine. Mm.
I'm still trying to figure out the difference between Irish butter, you know, and regular butter.
That's a really...
I mean, I know the butter, when you slice into it, Irish butter goes, toity, but...
Sorry, Irish people.
I'm a racist.
That's coming from a guy who's lipid count. And then, see, now it's just the lipids talking.
Oh, yeah, it's just the lipids. They know. They're like, oh, those are good folk right there. We're going to eat that. Bring that Irish butter here. I think we're done. I think
we'll call this the lipid show.
Yeah, the lipid show. Welcome to the lipids. So
more on Brett's... lipid count next week.
Hopefully not.
No. Well, where people are going to be hanging on the edge of their seats. They won't be able to sleep. They'll be tossing and turning.
Yes. They're going to be completist when it comes to my lipid counts. Did he get it down? Well, he's not dead, so he's going to be... Oh, he died. All right. Well, we know what happened there.
Okay. Well, it's been a pleasure.
Yes, a pleasure.
A good premiere.
Yes.
Let's crack a bottle of the really good Miracle Whip on the bow of this ship.
Yep.
And consider it launched.
That's weird. See, you know what all I can think of now is Miracle Whip with slivers of glass in it. That's all I get. I'm like, well, I'm not putting that in my tuna fish. So we hope that you enjoyed the show. I am Brett Weaver, your host, and I'm drinking a Gozer beer.
And I'm Monica Ballard, and I'm on my second Gozer.
Gozer.
Yeah.
Good. And hopefully you'll catch the next one.
This has been Two Beers In.
Yes. Bye.